The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media.
Broadcasting from the heart of Studio City, this is the Knapsack Files podcast feed, and this is Life Ranked. I'm your host, Ken Knapsack, and the show is pretty simple. I bring in a guest. They have five reasons. It could be the best. It could be the worst. But it is definitely a list of something. It could be something close to their heart. It could be something wild and crazy. But this week, we're going to find out the top five reasons to go to Universal Studios with a very special insider, Emma Fife.
Hello.
Emma, we had you on the Knapsack Files recently.
Yes.
We heard all about your obsessions with Sailor Moon and your path to victory here in Hollywood as a podcaster, broadcaster, and actor, and writer, and all those fun things. But you also have a job.
Like I do.
A lot of us do here in town. And that job is at Universal Studios.
Yes, I am a tour guide at Universal Studios. I have worked for the studio tour for about 4.5-ish years now. It started, you know, mostly just working at the regular studio tour. Now primarily work for the VIP experience.
VIP. Yes. Her pinky is in the air, folks. She's on the VIP tour. Now, Universal Studios out here in Hollywood, of course. There's the Orlando version as well. You know, that is, the tour is big stuff.
Yeah.
It's the staple.
It is. It really is.
For me, it's Bubba Gum Shrimp up at City Walk.
Yes.
Jurassic Park, the Mummy Ride, and the tour. If I hit the two of those four things, I've had a good trip.
Okay.
So your job's important. It's
fun. It is. It's very important.
And it's a good job to have, and it's not easy to entertain people. One of my favorite things is when I've been on a couple tour rides, when stuff goes awry.
Yeah, that's the best.
That is when they go off book, when their tour guide has to go off book.
I think my whole tour is off book.
Well, that's good. So, Emma, I'm going to let you start taking away. We're going to count from five to one. You're going to give me a list one at a time. We'll go dig into the topic.
All right. Well,
I might
I'm
have follow-ups.
I'm going to warn you that pretty much all of these are going to either be related to food, the studio, or the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. Of course.
Love it. And parking's not on the list.
Nope. Okay. Parking is terrible, actually. It's not great. I get told every day that it's really confusing to find.
I find it okay.
Thank you so much. Obviously, I am in charge of sending you directions on how to park.
Yeah.
Even though it says on your letter, like, how you do it.
I'm okay with the parking there, but maybe it's I've been there a long
That's
time.
That's true, yeah.
So hit me, Emma, number five.
Okay, number five, I am going to say Krusty Burger. In Springfield.
Yeah.
It is amazing.
Relatively new, right?
It opened in the spring of 2015.
That's fairly new. I've only been there once because I've only been there once since it opened.
All of Springfield is amazing.
It's great.
It is really amazing. That was, so a few days before it officially opened to the public, we had, like, an employee day where basically they're like, you can go over to Krusty Burger today and have lunch.
We're going to allow you to eat.
Yes. Well, but it was going to be free lunch.
Sure.
And I was blown away because this, here's the other little secret about Krusty Burger that you need to know. Not only is the food delicious, I highly recommend sharing a clogger with somebody because they're very intense, but they're very delicious.
Is this a clogger?
The clogger, it's the burger. Yeah, right. Like from The Simpsons.
I mean, you've been to the studio here, the Knapsack Files. You saw The Simpsons display in the living room.
Yeah.
It's definitely loved in this house. So I went to Moe's Tavern.
Yeah, Moe's is great.
I got a Flamin' Moe. I definitely got that.
Nice,
I don't think I tried
eating
the food. But all right, so the clogger, you got to bring
a
partner.
You got to get the clogger. But I recommend sharing it with somebody. But it's so, like, the flavors are really good, but, like, it's a lot. The thing to really know about Krusty Burger is that if you're in the park on a day where it's, like, hot outside or whatever, there is a ton of seating in there upstairs. And if you go, so basically if you're in Krusty Burger and you take the stairs up and you make a right and go all the way to the end, you'll go to Krusty's secret clown room. And it's so fun because there's just, like, Simpsons drawings of all kinds of
celebrities
and public figures, and it's awesome.
I need to go back.
So the food is great, and the atmosphere is so fantastic.
And there's a secret world to hide in.
Yep. Krusty's Secret Clown Room.
Yeah, see, this show could end right now, and I'm already happy. I got to go back. I don't want to jump too far and get something that might be on your list. But going in Springfield there, I got the donuts.
And of course, Lard Lads.
Oh, and
of course, they're so good.
I wanted the big, you know, trademarky pink donut there, the one that Homer would have. And they were out of it. So I bought four of the regular ones, which are pretty sizable.
They are.
And
first of all, I feel like those donuts legitimately are like 90% lard. And that's why they're so good.
And I had like two with the Fruit Loops on it and all that kind of stuff. But here's the thing. I ate one, got kind of sick because they're so good. They're so good. They're rich, they're thick,
they're really lardy.
And I powered through and I had one a week and a half after I had purchased them. I should be dead. It was not a good decision on my part, but I couldn't let myself let that donut pass away into the trash because I was so happy that I had a Springfield donut.
Yeah.
So, all right. So we learned something there.
They're awesome.
Not only is the food good, you got a secret hideout on a hot day, on a cold day, or just any day. You go up and see some stuff up there. Mm-hmm. That's number five, Krusty Burger.
Amazing. Yep.
Number four.
You know what I'm going to say? It is at this point one of the oldest things that we have in the park. Mm-hmm. And if you are a theme park attendee, I know most people naturally tend to gravitate towards going to rides. But you got to go to Waterworld. You really do. The show, Waterworld.
It is, I've been there.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Actually, right now they're doing another major refurbishment on it. So I'm excited to see what they do this time around. The last time they added a lot more explosions. Here's the thing.
A lot more.
Yeah.
An excessive amount of explosions.
Yeah, there's
added
a lot more explosions and a lot more. And they gave a couple more of the stunt people mics. So that's a little bit more interactive on the parts of the actors and less pre-recorded dialogue.
Oh, great.
It's the best. It literally is the number one rated theme park show, in the world.
So don't. It is. It's popular because don't let the movie
deter you from seeing this.
If you don't like Waterworld, and a lot of people don't, it's a different animal.
It's a totally different animal. I always tell my guests when I take them there, I was like, listen, guys, if you saw Waterworld and you thought I was long and boring, don't worry. You're not alone. This is like the best parts of Waterworld condensed into a 15-minute stunt show.
What's some of your favorite parts? Do you seen it enough that you could pick a favorite part of the Waterworld stunt show?
Yeah. I like I don't want to spoil it though. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, okay.
Because lot of it is related to the moments that Helen gets to be kind of badass, and some of the stunts that she gets to do. In my secret heart of hearts, if I had any sort of stunt inclination whatsoever, I want to be Helen in the Waterworld show so badly.
You can make it happen.
Yeah. I'm a strong swimmer, so.
I don't know him directly, but I know someone who's in the show.
Okay.
I don't want to give his name out, but he is a relatively famous professional wrestler.
Mm.
I'm friends with his tag team partner.
Oh, nice.
And they're a veteran, to anyone listening, he's a veteran performer of the pro wrestling business of a certain fame
also,
and stature.
Blue Power Ranger on the last season of Power Rangers, Yoshi Sudarso, is a Waterworld veteran.
I'm not gonna say, it's not disparaging at all, just I don't know if he's comfortable with people knowing he's there. I don't want to say, but so I'll talk to him.
Great.
And through our mutual friend, and then maybe we can get you in there, take a bump.
Yep.
Right? You can jump off the thing.
Perfect.
There. So, and you know what I remember? It's been a long time since I've been to the Waterworld show.
Yes.
Is those explosions you mentioned. There's a heat resonates.
You feel
that heat.
Yeah, if it's cold, that's the place to go. And it's also really cool at nighttime because of all the fire.
Well, so I live close enough to.
Yes. I was going to say, you can probably see Helen's flare gun go
I
off
can
every,
see it.
every hour and a half.
I will be driving home down the 170 or something from my friend's house where I work out, and I can see poof, and I see these flares go up.
Yeah.
And
I was driving on Mulholland the other day and looking down on Universal and was like, whoa,
when I drove, when I worked at Defy Media and Screen Junkies, I would take Mulholland Drive, the windy, famous road, for those of you not in Hollywood, and it overlooks the San Fernando Valley. And
it's a great view.
It's
also
a great view, and you can get that turnoff right there. It's pretty.
Yeah, but you're right out on Cahuenga. It's great.
Right, right. But you can turn off there, and that that view that's right over the valley, mm-hmm. but it looks right on Universal Studios. And I've seen the flames, and I've seen them go up. And one morning I was driving into work, mm-hmm. and I guess they were testing something because it was early. I was going in like 7:30, 7:45. I swore on my life mm-hmm. a building was on fire. I called John Rocha later in the day, who's an employee there as well. I was like, yes. John, is there a fire? Are you at work today? Is everything yes. okay? Because I was that overlook mm-hmm. right there. So yep. the Water World ride, the theme park attraction, what do you call it in? What is
the show.
The show. It's a show.
Yeah.
All right. That's number four.
Yes.
Kevin Costner, not part of it.
I know. I always say that too. I'm like, guys, Kevin Costner is not in the show. And I usually get a laugh. I don't know why people think that's so funny, but they do.
Number three.
Okay. Number three, I am going to say, Ollivander's wand pairing. And this is the thing about it. Or wand mm-hmm. fitting. I'm sorry, we can't say wand pairing because it sounds too much like wine pairing.
Is that an official, that's an official dictate?
Yes.
That is a dictate.
We're not
that is
allowed
in the
to
rules.
Say wand pairing. But this is like a little inside secret. So, okay, the wand fitting thing
here is
fantastic.
Right.
And if you go, you might have John Stephen Rocha as your wand keeper. I have, personally.
I haven't gone in because the line was too long, but okay. I did arrange for a special wizard appearance from Mr. Rocha.
Well, I did have him for a wand fitting yes. one time. But the little secret that I want to tell everybody, though, this is mostly going to apply to Harry Potter fans, of course. Honestly, if you don't get fitted with a wand in the actual like fitting ceremony, it is not a show; it is an experience.
Right. You're doing very good with your corporate
words. Yes,
thank you.
Once you're in the shop, which you'll naturally go into after you leave that room,
right.
they'll do wand fittings for you in there. Some of the employees will.
Okay.
You specifically need to find a wizard by the name of Alejandro.
Do you just start randomly asking?
Yeah, he has a name tag on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a white guy with like slightly longer brown hair. Like it's not like short, but it's not like long. Well, I think it is long enough to put in a ponytail now. Anyway,
good for Alejandro growing his hair long.
Listen,
I know that
he's
feeling.
No, he's great. Like I'm just like here, I'm literally on this podcast to be like, guys, you should go see Alejandro. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. He's gonna get I heard your name on the Knapsack Files. The what now?
The what? No, but he is great. Like he's so all of the Wizarding World of Harry Potter in LA, to me, I was just in Florida not mm-hmm. too long ago. Right. And Diagon Alley was amazing because it's just such an incredible scale and you cannot see anything else from inside of it.
It
is
feels
literally
like you're,
there.
Yeah.
But I went to their Hogsmeade and ours just feels a little more magical. Some of that's because it's newer.
Okay.
But I think some of it is also because the guy who is the director of operations mm-hmm. for the Wizarding World of Harry Potter in LA is such a fan. He's so passionate about it. And so when we were training to take groups into the Wizarding World of Harry Potter as VIP guides,
right.
Scott Berkland, the director of operations, was actually the one who was like, yeah, if your guests are like really big Harry Potter fans and they don't get fitted with a wand during the experience, like tell them that, you know, they can actually do a fitting in the shop. And so that day it was soft open. This was like in February of 2016.
Right.
I was like, I want to see what this is all about. So I went in, and Alejandro happened to be the person that I talked to.
Happened, Emma, or you
knew
his schedule.
I didn't know yet. No,
and you heard rumors.
No, I am the one who has, like, spread the word about Alejandro.
Oh, you're the one
like,
he has to
no,
thank
like, legitimately,
and blame.
My bosses have all gotten fitted with their wands by him.
By him.
Per my recommendation.
Right.
Because, like, in the wand fitting is so, it's so fun and amazing. And like, it's incredible to see it with like a little kid for whom
sure.
all of the magical effects are so real. But Alejandro, like he, instead of just being like, when were you born? Because technically the wands that we have in the shop, all the Ollivander's originals are based on Celtic tree mythology.
Okay.
Celtic tree astrology.
Gotcha.
So, like, you know, you have a corresponding month, and you could just get paired with that one, but that's not what Alejandro does. He, like, asks you a whole bunch of questions.
He wants to know your life dreams.
He presents you with three possible wands. Like, it's amazing.
Choices?
It's
he
amazing.
Gives you a choice?
It's amazing. Yeah. And like, it was so funny because I had two friends that were with me when I was getting fitted. Uh-huh. And so like, he brought me the two, and then the third one, he's like, I don't know, like this one seems weird, but I'm just hear me out. And he like brought out the wand, and my friends were like, oh my God, that's perfect. So
this is a man,
so fun.
But now here's what I love is in life, you know, and I don't know what Alejandro mm-hmm. does outside of mm-hmm. that job. I don't know what his life's dreams
are.
I don't know.
He's friends with some other friends of mine, too. So I don't know why I don't know a little more.
Maybe we'll interview him on the Netflix. Yeah. But you hear a guy like that, it's the old thing of if you're going to dig a ditch, dig the best ditch possible. Mm-hmm. He's not taking that little thing lightly.
No.
He is buying in fully, therefore you're going to buy in, and there's going to be some little kid that at 7 years old gets fitted for a wand by Alejandro, and 20 years from now is still remembering that experience. So I say kudos to a person like that who is a everyday hero.
A lot of pride into his work, you know what I mean?
Because no one wants to go for, you might travel from Wisconsin to Universal Studios Hollywood, and some person's like, yeah, whatever, pick your wand.
Yeah. That's true, but that's not what it is. And actually, I sort of had, I think they were confused what I was asking them, because I went into Ollivander's in Diagon Alley in Florida, and I just, from an employee standpoint, was being like, oh, because, you know, in Hollywood, like, we do fittings in the shop, too. Do you guys do that? And they're like, that happens in the next door. And I was like, no, but, like, if people don't get chosen by the wand keeper, then, like, do you do the thing in here? And they're like, we have this birth chart. And I was like, lame.
Birth chart. The magic of a birth chart.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So that is the wand.
Yeah, the wand.
That's good.
Yeah. Oh, and just as an addendum to that.
Yeah.
Like, get an interactive wand. Doing spells in the windows is way more fun than it has any right to be.
Now, I don't have a wand. I'll disclose that. Okay. I am a Harry Potter appreciator, but I'm not a fan. Mm-hmm. I get it. Mm-hmm. I've seen all the movies. I haven't read the books, but I get it. Mm-hmm. I love, appreciate the lore of the world, but I have a lot of friends that it's very important. So I've gone to Universal Studios with one of them. The wands, that was fun. I would not want a dead wand.
No.
I want an interactive wand.
Yeah. And they work at all of the Universal Studios. So they work in Florida.
Well, hers was from Florida.
Yeah. They work in Florida. They work here in Hollywood. And they work in Osaka as well.
And they work just randomly on the street, maybe.
I wish. Sometimes. Man, I have two, so.
You have two wands?
Yeah, because I have
cheating?
I have the one that Alejandro fitted me with. And then I also have so I got fitted with the biggest wand in the shop.
Sure.
It's the Alder wand. It has a giant serpent head on it, and it is 17 inches long.
Uh-huh.
It's an intense wand.
Uh-huh.
So there's
I'm intimidated by this wand.
There's a Death Eater wand, though.
I'd want that.
That they make an interactive version of that's like a baby version of my wand, and it's so beautiful. I had to buy it.
It's a baby version of your wand.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is. It's probably only like 14 inches, which is still pretty big.
I want to see this wand.
But yeah, I have two, and I love them.
I'm going to ask Roka about that the next time. Get my hands on that.
I know. Roka tried to fit me with like a holly wand, and I was like, ugh.
Love it.
Weak.
Love it. So that is number three on the list of the reasons you should go to Universal Studios.
So number
Studios.
Four, this is not actually specific.
Number two
is not specifically related to Harry Potter, though it is in the wizarding world of Harry Potter.
Gotcha.
And it is only for adults.
Mm-hmm.
It is the Hogshead Pub.
Yeah, absolutely.
There are three beers that are brewed specifically for the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
I haven't had any of these three. I've just had some butter beer.
Okay.
Not alcoholic for those.
No,
not
butter beer is
initiated.
Not alcoholic.
Yeah.
And if you're going to consume butter beer, I recommend either frozen or hot because the regular cold version is like just a sugar assault on your life.
I had the cold version because I still think I feel it.
Yeah.
It's been months.
Yeah.
I still think my
it's
teeth
like
hurt.
It's like a sugar assault on your life. The frozen actually has just as much sugar, but because of all the ice that it's blended with, it's not as sweet.
Right.
And then,
but back to these beers.
Back to these beers, these actual beers. So there's three beers. They are the Dragon Scale Lager, which is my favorite. There's the Hogshead Ale and the Wizard's Brew, which is a stout. And they're so good.
Right.
So yeah, they're like these three craft beers that are brewed specifically for the Wizarding World.
Do you have to keep them? Is there some boundaries?
No.
No?
No way, man.
I can't remember Universal.
That's another reason in general to go to Universal. There's no open container laws.
That's right. You know, I'm remembering now.
Dude, if you get a Duff beer, they serve it in this gigantic cup. And I was like, the first time I got one, I was like, well, I guess I'm just going to walk around the park and drink this beer.
Drink
this
the Duff beer.
This is great.
Mm. I gotta take advantage of that next time I go.
Yeah. As I say, the Dragon Scale Lager is my favorite, but the Wizard's Brew stout is so good.
Very good.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's a stout, so it's like, it's a little, like, more full-bodied. But also at the Hogshead Pub when you're there, the bartenders are actually the ones who are in control of the Hogshead that's in the pub.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they can make it, like, move and
I've
stuff
been
like
there
that,
when
so.
It's moved.
Yeah.
Had a good meal there.
Yeah.
Let me ask this question. I don't want to get you in trouble, Emma, mm-hmm. but maybe on any of your off hours mm-hmm. or anything. Mm-hmm. How intoxicated have you gotten and ridden up and down those elevators?
Oh, the escalators, the Starway.
Escalators.
Well,
have you
I
done
mean,
that?
I was.
Is that something that you do?
Get drunk and ride the escalators.
That's what I would
not
do.
Not like for fun, but like for Halloween Horror Nights preview. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Have you ever?
Someone usually loses their job during Halloween
really?
Horror Nights preview.
Is it like a Dothraki wedding? Three people must die for it to be
yes,
considered a success.
Yeah, absolutely.
Preview night, one person
yep,
must be
HHM
fired.
Preview night, at least one person must be fired.
What are some of the examples you could share?
It's mostly just being intoxicated and, really stupid, and being just making dumb choices,
like me on drunk movie fights, just doing that.
Yeah.
So that's a good place to start.
Yeah.
Like, and look, I love theme parks, and Universal Studios mm-hmm. is one I attend relatively often. But being, you know, I don't advise you need to drink to get through life. But,
no, but
every once in a while, theme park drunk is fun.
To be drunk at a theme park, yeah. I mean, that's why, you know, when I go to Disneyland. I can't stay in Disneyland for that long. I need to go to California Adventure. I can have alcohol.
my good friend Matt Key, his wife used mm-hmm. to work at Ariel's Grotto and Brittany.
That's the
and
place.
There was a great time that Matt and I went there. We hung out. We had some drinks. The bartender mm-hmm. was very good friends with Britt.
Yeah.
Hooked us up with some off the chart and off the menu drinks. And California Adventure was Matt and I tooled
mean,
around
I'm,
that place.
I know
had a great
we're
time.
Not talking about Cova Bar. But their like habanero margarita thing that they have
there is
so good.
Yeah, the Cove Bar so behind Ariel's Grotto. But that's California Adventure
yes.
in Disneyland.
Yes.
So let's recap here. Number five, mm-hmm. Krusty Burger.
Yes.
You're going to eat a good, bring a friend, mm-hmm. hide up in the top.
Get a clogger.
Waterworld show, catch the flames, catch the explosions.
Yep.
One day Emma will perform in it.
Yeah.
Number three, you got to get your wand.
Got to get a wand.
You got to go to what? Ollivander's?
Ollivander's.
Ollivander's. Yeah. I say that wrong often. Yeah. And then number two, three beers on tap at the pub.
Yeah.
To celebrate your wanding. Mm-hmm. Is that
wanding?
Wanding?
Sure. Yeah.
It's in the
wanding.
Ninth book.
Yeah.
It hasn't come out yet, the ninth book. So here is from an insider, a person who knows this place better than almost anyone else you or I know. Emma Fife's going to tell you the number one reason to go to Universal Studios Hollywood.
I mean, I might be a little biased, but it has to be the studio tour.
Booyah.
It's what we have that Orlando doesn't have, that Osaka doesn't have. That
Wait, they don't have that?
No.
I mean, I know it couldn't be the same because we don't film
Orlando
movies in Orlando.
Used
but
to have like a little thing
they
where
don't
they
even
like
fake
took
it?
You to those stages with like the Nickelodeon stuff,
oh,
but no,
yeah. okay.
nothing anymore.
So this is it. This is like the
tour. Yeah, it's the,
tour.
I mean, it
That's
I mean,
why
this,
it's so prestigious that you're
is,
a tour guide.
This is Universal Studios Hollywood. You know what I mean? Like, this is the reason that anything else Universal Studios exists.
Right.
if you're not going to take the studio tour, why are you going to Universal in Hollywood? I'm sorry.
And,
like,
and look, there's little rides and attractions there, but it takes you to the working studio. I once, you know, saw Penny Marshall's parking spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
You know, the thing is, for me, that's the thing I like about my job is like at the end of the day, like, sure, I work at a theme park, but I also work at a movie studio.
Yeah.
And as somebody who is such a fan of film and television, like, they have been making movies literally at the place that you are going on that tram or on the trolley if you're doing a VIP tour, which you, if you can afford it, I highly, highly, highly recommend. That has been in use since 1914.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, there's some great pictures.
Those Western sets that you drive through, like some of them on like Denver Street, which granted we don't go down Denver Street very often because the Home and Family House kind of blocks it now. But like those sets, some of them, they weren't there, but they've been moved there. And some of them have been around since the 1920s. Like, it's incredible. And like, oh my God, God bless the fucking Good Place.
Yeah.
Because now Little Europe has been all restored and it's unbelievable. And like, I love the Universal horror films. Like, I loved those movies so much when I was a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
And so then to like go out there and it's like, this is the town from the Wolfman. Like, you know what I mean?
It's legit.
Yeah, it's so cool.
And I remember the fire that took a lot of that place.
Yeah.
I've lived over here for a while, and that you could see
the
smoke.
But you know what?
Feel the smoke
from
my house.
It's like, you know, those sets look so beautiful, and it's like, if you like any of that Marvel stuff, if you like, you know, Captain America First Avenger was the very first production to film on the New York street sets once they were renovated. Amazing Spider-Man filmed out there. The big glass building was the Oscorp building for the scene where Peter Parker is, as Spider-Man, like swinging from the cranes to get into the Oscorp building. Like, that was all filmed on the Universal lot. And like, Agent Carter, the season one finale was filmed down there. They filmed so much of season two out there. I was in Courthouse Square on Back to the Future Day on October.
Right.
Yeah. And 2015. And they had a big event out there that morning, and then they had to close it because Agent Carter was filming in that area.
Right.
And so, like, I'm sort of, like, sneakily, illegally out there because I wasn't working that day. So I was like, I'm just going to go to Courthouse Square because I feel like it.
Yeah, the courthouse is great.
And the crew of Home and Family was all, like, out there. I was like, oh, it's totally fine for us to be here because I, like, know all the Home and Family people at this point. And so I was, like, in the courthouse and, like, Haley Atwell just like strolls over to me and like strikes up a conversation, and
that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's I love Back to the Future in that area.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's unmistakable. Like, even though the front of the courthouse looks different, which here's a secret. You know how in Back to the Future there's like the four pillars at the front of the courthouse, and now it's a flat brick front because they did that for the TV show Ghost Whisperer when they were filming out there.
Okay.
It's just another facade that's built out in front of the pillars. So if you open the door, like, the pillars are still there.
Magic in Hollywood. What are some of your favorite moments
from being on the tour? I mean, my absolute favorite. Mm. So when you do a VIP tour, our vehicles sit 27 people, but basically they decided 27 people was too many people for you to have with you in the theme park.
Okay.
So usually we have two tour guides on the vehicle. So you switch off, and if you're with another guide that you like really get along with, it's like so fun because you get to like co-host the tour.
Sure.
Anything that is like the driver has to activate it in some way, we refer to that as an animation.
Okay.
My absolute favorite animation is Jaws.
The classic one.
I love Jaws. I love doing my like shtick at Jaws. It's a little different every time. Like Jaws, okay, so this is when I first started as a tour guide. When you do your like test, you only have to do like one area of the tour. And for my practice test and my actual test, I got literally the exact same thing, which was part of the Metro set. So the, like, New York Street area.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that New York Street was close. So we were actually in London Square.
Yeah.
Which I can give an even better presentation in now because they filmed the season two finale of Agent Carter there because they were supposed to be on a movie studio lot. It was supposed to be, like, Howard Stark's movie lot.
Right.
So it was great. But anyway, so I had done the first part of the tour so much by the time I got hired and had to actually do the whole tour by myself.
Right.
Because you don't actually ever do the whole tour by yourself until you give your first tour.
Really?
You only do bits and pieces of it.
Wow. Is that scary?
It's a little scary.
Is that intimidating?
It is
you get
scary.
Like, how many trams are on that? There's a lot of little cars on that tram, right?
Four cars?
Mm-hmm. That's
about 160 people.
These are people, again, I'm putting a lot of pressure on them. These are people that have traveled.
I know.
There's family. They've saved up. Kids, our family vacation this year is Universal Studios.
Yep.
If Emma messes up, your dreams are shattered.
But I realized on my very first tour, I got to Jaws. I sort of had an idea of what it maybe said in the script that you were supposed to do, but I still improvised it. I got to the Psycho House and the Bates Motel, and I went, I have never, ever done this part of the tour, and I don't know what it says in the script. So to this day, I don't know what it says to do there.
I just
wing it. I improvise with Norman. I actually
well,
one
the
of
the guy comes out, right? Yeah, Norman yeah, yeah. comes out.
Yeah, so one of the Normans actually, we were walking to the parking garage, and he's like, wait. He's like, you're a tour guide, aren't you? I was like, I am. He's like, you're really funny. You're one of the good ones. I was like, thank you.
You're one of the good ones, kid.
Yep.
I have the Normans sit out in that hotel, and they have to wait for the tram to come by.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what they do? Are they watching a monitor? They're just playing video games, crossword puzzles? What are they doing?
Yeah, they have a trailer that they hang out in, and they just kind of, like, rotate who's there. Like, who's basically, there? You have, like, a half hour on and a half hour off.
Yeah, okay.
So, like, there will be another Norman in the trailer while one of them is in the Bates Motel.
I've always wondered
just
that.
Just waiting.
Because it's on part of the tour that's... It's deep into the tour, so it's kind of out in the middle of nowhere.
It is. It's totally in the middle of nowhere. It's right before you go up to the World World Sets.
He's just kind of sitting there hanging out, and then he's got to do his thing. It's great. Any weird celebrity encounters you've had? Mm-hmm. I know Jim Carrey famously jumped out of the Whoville set a lot and all that kind of stuff.
That did not happen to me.
Okay.
What celebrity encounters have I? I mean, I used to have them mostly... when Parenthood was filming, because they were really good to us, and we went to their sets all the time.
Oh,
so, like, I ran into, like, Dax Shepard, who's, like, really super nice.
Yeah.
God, why am I totally drawing a blank? Peter Crawford. Who was Adam Braverman. Let's see. What other sort of weird celebrity encounters have I had? I didn't have this, but a tour the other day, and I'm very proud of my friends for doing this. They were in the prop department, which is something that you get to do if you take a VIP tour. You get to go in a soundstage and go in the prop department, and it's pretty cool. So they were at the prop department, and one of the guides, like, had checked her personal cell phone, which it's questionable whether or not we should really be doing that. But she did, and saw that Jimmy Fallon, who I've taken around before, was doing a, like, Facebook Live thing from the lot. And so they were like, let's go find Jimmy Fallon. So their tour literally went and, like, stalked Jimmy Fallon, he could not have been cooler.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Who else have I encountered on my tour? Oh, my God. This was the greatest thing ever. So CSI used to film on the Universal lot. So all of their, like, crime labs and hospitals and everything, like, they were all in stages 23 through 25.
Mm-hmm.
We're, like, pulling around the corner, and I'm, like, talking about CSI, and this was on a VIP tour, and I was like, yeah, starring Elizabeth Shue and Ted Danson. Oh, there he is, there. Yeah.
You got to meet Samuel Lowe.
Yeah,
he's
super cool. And now he films, of course, The Good Place on the lot. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. You're making me want to go.
Yeah.
Again.
It's fun.
I got to head over there again.
It really is. It's a good time.
There was a period of time I went enough with that was within your working career there. I'm surprised I didn't get you on a tour. I'm surprised.
You know, I so rarely do tram tours.
This is me back probably when you started it. I've been a lot. I haven't been in a while. Only been once.
Yeah, I've been a guide since 2012.
Yeah, yeah.
But I started working for VIP in 2013. And,
oh, okay. I'm not in that rarefied air yet. You're right, Emma.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I sort of miss giving tram tours sometimes. They seem so easy compared to doing a VIP tour.
I got to do a super secret VIP tour because my past career in the security industry, my friend, a guy named Marvin, was NBC Universal head of security.
Oh, it was corporate security.
Corporate security.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My parents were in town or something, and I was, like, up there, and I text him and say, you work it? He's like, yeah, come on. And we got coffee. My folks here. And he goes, oh, you want to go on the lot? I was like, well, yeah. So we got in an SUV, he went in some back gate, and we drove around the lot about 9 o'clock at night. It was great.
Yeah. If I could get a driver, which I could absolutely get a driver, it would just be a matter of us getting a genie so we could activate the animations. But yeah.
We didn't have the animations.
I could definitely do a super secret tour.
We were around there, it was awesome, and I think we saw a deer cross at one point.
Oh,
it was,
my God. I was a supervisor during Halloween Horror Nights.
Someone died.
No one died.
Was fired.
Nobody died. I did deal with some very interesting medical emergencies. Mm. But uh, I had a golf cart. That was amazing. Like, I had a golf cart for the event. This was 2013. I was a TerraTram supervisor. And it was mostly pretty great, actually. Yeah. But yeah, being able to drive a golf cart around the lot was like so awesome.
It was cool. Because he took us everywhere. We went everywhere. It was
and
awesome.
I actually, so the Teamsters contract does not allow you to drive anybody except other supervisors. So I was the only tour guide who was a supervisor.
Right.
And all the other seasonal supervisors from our department were studio tour ambassadors. So they're the ones that are like the ride ops, basically, of the studio tour. And so I remember, like, one of them asked me, he was like, hey, you know, we have a little while till we have to set up barricades or whatever. We'll be on radio and we'll take our cell phones with us. Like, would you mind, like, driving me around the lot? So I can like actually learn it, because the studio tour ambassadors, they never leave the plaza.
Yeah.
So it was like, yeah. And I took like the back road up by the Parenthood facade. Like, right. It was great.
All right. So at some point in the future, Emma, I'm going to sneak in there. You're going to give me VIP tour.
I'll give you the
tour.
Legit VIP tour.
I want
tour.
The legit tour.
Yeah.
That is it, guys. The top five reasons to go to Universal Studios Hollywood from Emma Fife, someone who knows it so well. Emma, thank you for coming on Knapsack Files Podcast Feed and Life Ranked. Tell the folks where you can be found on the internet.
You can find me on Twitter and on Instagram, mostly at my name, Emma Fife, EMMAFYFFE. For everyone who is listening, that is all F's as in Frank, no S's as in snake. They tend to sound the same on the phone or when you record them into a microphone and transmit them into someone's ears. It's always a very interesting to see what my last name is when someone else has made a hotel reservation for me over the phone.
Fifes.
It's usually, I've had many times, because, you know, I when I was on tour, a lot of the times, you know, the local people who were making reservations for us would work out a deal with the hotel, so they were doing everything over the phone instead of the internet, and I would show up, and I'd be like, yeah, the last name is Fife, and they're like, I don't know. I'm like,
you're not
look
here.
Under S-Y.
S-Y-S-S.
And they're like, yep, I have an S, yep, Sice.
We have a Sice. So that is Emma Fife, not Sice, and inside our Universal Studios, this has been Life Ranked. You can follow me on Twitter at Ken Knapsack and the Knapsack Files Facebook page. Give that a like. I have an official Facebook page. You can like there. And if you're on iTunes, do me that favor. Subscribe, rate, and review. And if you haven't already and you want to, the Patreon page exists where you can help support the show and help make creative decisions for the podcast feed. That is the rewards I have out there. You will vote on things, get extra things. You will help me decide some of the shows. Thank you for those who have supported as well. So until next time, for Emma Fife, I'm Ken Knapsack, and that is Life Ranked.